Hey everyone, welcome to It's X for Today. I'm Pastor Rob, and we are in episode 33 today, and we are going to be asking the question, is God's word trustworthy even today? We'll see in a minute. Okay, so it's a rhetorical question. It's there's an obvious answer to that, and I'll just say it from the very get-go. But don't leave, okay? It is trustworthy. God's word is trustworthy. And today we finalize our mini-series on Gideon. And it was a three-part series that we started here at A Text for Today. And a text that we have today that we're looking at is found in Judges chapter 7, verse 15, which we'll get to here in a moment. Real quick, though, I would just want to say thank you so much for continuing to join us and listening in. Thankful for you, the followership, and those who are encouraged by the podcast here at A Text for Today. If you get a chance, if you haven't already, go to atextfortoday.com. You can view any of the past episodes there, listen to any of the past episodes there. And also with that, there is opportunity in which you can subscribe to any of our podcast feeds and also our YouTube channel. And so if you have not done any of that, then go to our website and please do that. That'd be a huge favor on my part, I ask of that. And so I trust it'll also be an encouragement to you in some way. And so there's an archive of previous episodes on our website, and you can always go back and listen to those. Well, I'm excited because I got a couple things I want to mention. First, in the days ahead, we are going to be looking to switching up the podcast a little bit, not changing it completely, but adding some things to it. And one of those is interviews with men and women that I respect highly. And so we're looking to add those in every now and then and just mix it up a little bit, but also speak on the same topic and same theme with also listening into those individuals' lives and how they can really speak into some relevant topics for today relating to God's word. And so that's number one. I'm excited about that. And one of the ones that we're going to looking to launch with, and I'll be interviewing this coming Friday, it won't be live, it will be posted later, is Dr. David Allen, one of the men of God that I highly respect, who is running for the position of president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so I'm excited about that. We'll be interviewing him on Friday, and Lord willing, and then we'll be posting that episode at a later time. I'm looking to do that and add some of those type of episodes in the future. If you're familiar with a previous ministry that I had that was for the work with Jason Betts, Pastor Jason Betts, and I had about, I think, two seasons with about 70 plus episodes where we were able to interview many people in the ministry. And it was such an encouragement. I think it was very beneficial and helpful to many people. And so I'm looking to add that element to this specific podcast here at A Text for Today. And so hopefully that'll be encouragement to you. And the first one up is Dr. David Allen, and I'm excited about that because he was my supervisor for my doctorate at Southwestern before he left there and went to Mid-America. And so I'm excited about having him on Friday, and I'm sure that episode will be a help to you as well. The second thing is I'm looking to actually, as I mentioned a few moments ago, create multi-seasons. And so for those that don't know, I'm also a U.S. Army chaplain of the United States Army, and so I have a pretty significant long upcoming training that's coming up this summer, and so that's really going to create a pause for the actual daily episodes that we've been putting out Monday through Friday. And so because of that, that's one of the other reasons why I'm also bringing on interviews with other people so that I can kind of create podcast episodes for each week while I'm gone. So that way that the content is still being put out there and still being a help to you every week, but it won't be Monday through Friday through the summertime. Then when I get back after the summer, I'm looking to start season two. And so we'll have about, I don't know, somewhere around 45, I think it was 45 episodes for season one, and then continue to see where the Lord adds, how many the episodes the Lord allows me to host and post here at A Text for Today in the future in season two. So that said, two things, all right? Season one is probably around 13 episodes shy of ending. And then season two will pick up in the fall. However, throughout the summertime, there will be episodes that we've pre-recorded, likely a lot of interviews with men and women that I respect that will continue to keep the ball rolling while season one comes to a pause. And in between seasons, I should say. So that, look for that the days ahead. I'm excited about that. And I'm looking forward to lining up many more men and women that I highly respect in ministry or in life in general that I'll have on the podcast. But today, we are finalizing the Gideon series. And here is the text for today that we have. That is found in Judges chapter 7, verse 15. Judges chapter 7, verse 15. And again, if you're not familiar with Judges, you're definitely familiar with a man named Gideon. Maybe you know Gideon because of Gideon International, right? Which is where Gideon International got their name from Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. But nonetheless, Gideon is an individual that you probably know. And if you've been listening to the past two episodes, you definitely know Gideon. And if you were here on Sunday at Redemption Hill Baptist Church, you know who Gideon is. But we're finalizing, we're wrapping up the narrative of Gideon today, and we're going to be looking at just one more facet, which is pretty much the final facet of how God used him in Scripture. And so Judges chapter 7, verse 15 is a text for today. The Bible says this, "And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.'" And so that's our a text for today. And we are looking at some of the details kind of to set the scene here. If you remember from the last episode on Friday, God had dwindled this army that Gideon was forming after he began to move forward and trust the Lord. There was a formation of an army from his own family lineage of the tribe of Manasseh and various other tribes like Zebulun and Asher and Naphtali that you see in verse 35 of chapter 6. And God begins to say that this is too many people. This is not how I'm going to have you defeat the Midianites. This is not how I'm going to have you save Israel. So start to dwindle the numbers. You see at first that 22,000 are given the opportunity to leave because of their fear of going to fight up against the Midianites, and they do it. And so the army dwindles down in numbers to 10,000, and then God says, this is still too many. And then he puts out a test out there to show which ones are going to go, which ones are going to stay behind. And lo and behold, from 32,000 to 10,000, God dwindles the army down to 300 men. And so it's Gideon and 300, which is a small amount of people compared to the 120 plus thousand that the Midianites have as an army. And so you see that there's a significant, like, just disadvantage here, 301 to 120 plus thousand men in a battle. And so there is a reason why God does that. And the reason you find in chapter 7, verse 2, is because, number one, so that Israel doesn't claim glory for herself, right? This, if there is going to be a victory, then it's going to be hard for Israel to declare victory if they defeat the Midianites with only 300 people, right? They could not say, look at our massive army. Look at our massive army and look how we defeated them. No, it would not be possible. And so Israel can't claim glory for herself. And secondly, so that she doesn't exalt herself over God. And you see that in verse 2 of chapter 7 also. So they don't claim the glory. They're not able to claim the glory, and they're not able to exalt themselves over God. And so God dwindles the army down to 300. And so that same night, God calls Gideon to move forward to conquer the Midianites. And you see this in verse 9 of chapter 7. After he dwindles the army down to 300, you see this. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand." Now, I want to point that specific verse out because, again, the focus is on God's promise, which is ultimately God's word to Gideon. You also see that in verse 7. The Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand." So that's God's word specifically to Gideon at that time. We're talking about Gideon now, right? Not us. God is promising Gideon that he's going to save Israel. He himself, that is God, he's also going to deliver Israel. Now, this is interesting because previously God had told Gideon, this mighty man of valor that he declared he was, is going to be the one that's going to save Israel and deliver Israel from the Midianites. So what's going on here? Why does it seem like there's maybe a surface level contradiction here? Well, there's no contradiction. The truth of the matter is, if you know the story of Gideon, if you know the story found here in Judges, you understand that ultimately what God is trying to get Gideon to understand is that God doesn't need Gideon. Rather, Gideon needs God, right? That's the focus. Gideon needs God. And in God's presence, it is going to be, you know, in God's presence and in God's might, it is, he is going to deliver the Midianites into his hands. He's going to defeat the Midianites, right? And so the key word is God's presence, the key phrase, God's presence. And so without God, there's no victory. There's no salvation. There's no delivering. There's no conquering. But with God, there is. And hinged to that is this important truth, that is God's word. And so God's word is the assuring reality to David, excuse me, to Gideon, and he is assuring him to the point where Gideon is able to trust him, hopefully. But what you see instead, which is a pattern inside the book of Judges, you see Gideon's doubt or fear. And God actually points this out. And this, in this text here, you see it clearly. And in reaction to what God had said to Gideon. And so Gideon, his fear begins to set in. God kind of highlights this in verse 10. Listen to this. He says this, "But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and listen." So God knows that Gideon is doubtful. God knows that he's fearful. And so he gives Gideon an option to actually go and listen to what's going on down in the camp, that is in the camp of those Midianites. And so this will strengthen him. This will give him more confidence, not necessarily in what he hears, but in what God has said and how it lines up with what's about to take place. And so this statement, by the way, from verse 10, which says, "But if you are afraid to go down, then do this," is a statement that to Gideon that shows, number one, God knows Gideon. He created him, and that should be no surprise. Gideon is not hiding something, his fear. He's not going to be able to hide his fear from God. And God sees his fear, and he says, if you're afraid, then go down into the camp and listen in. So number one, it shows that God knows Gideon. And secondly, God provides a way to assure Gideon for the battle ahead. And so, which is awesome if you think about it, right? If we can maybe draw a little bit of an application here, there are moments in our life where we are fearful. And in those fearful moments, God does provide ways in which we can be assured, primarily through his word, but also in various other real-time ways in which we are able to see, okay, you know what? I think I need to trust God here. I think that I really need to put my confidence in God here and not fear. And so you see that there is going to be many opportunities in our own lives where God actually provides assurance in ways that maybe are in addition to God's word or his written word as we have it today. And so Gideon takes the intel option. He takes the intel option, and he and his servant Purah, they go down and they start to tap phones. They start to do phone tapping. They start to listen in to the conversations, and you see this. And you see this in verse number 13. "And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, 'I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.' And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped." Then he returns, and then you see the leadership kick in on Gideon's part, his faith and such. And so you see that, you know, there is this opportunity in which God gives them to go down and listen in to some important intel for Gideon. This is necessary for Gideon. I'm talking about Gideon. This was necessary for him. And, God, you know, what he hears is all that he needs to further assure him of God's sure word. Remember what God said. Recall God had said, "You shall hear what you say, what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down. In verse 11, he says, if you're afraid, go down and listen, and after you, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. And so then he goes down and listens and starts to tap phone lines and listen in to intel and figuring out what's going on. And at that moment, he is assured. But don't untie what Gideon is hearing down in the valley, you know, from those within the camp of the Midianites. Don't forget that God's word is tied to long before he gets there. God had said that he will be strengthened. He will be encouraged. He will be able to go now and actually defeat the Midianites. God had said before he went down there that you're going to get strengthened because of this. So don't untie what he heard down there to what God said before he went, which is God's word. And I think that's significant. I think that's so important. God had stated to Gideon an assurance that he needed, something that he needed to know, something that would help him, something that would provide faith to him. And you know, and I think it's important to see this, that in Scripture, God's word to us is often linked to God's knowledge of us. We are but dust, and so God speaks. We are but feeble humanity, and so God assures us with his word. You know, and so in Scripture, you often see God's word to Gideon and to Moses and to other Abraham and all of these people, David and others. It's you see God's word. It's often linked to God's knowledge of us. In other words, God knows that we are weak. God knows that we are feeble. God knows that we are but dust. And so he chooses to speak to us through his word to give us faith, to give us confidence, to give us assurance. And I think that those two are awesomely tied throughout Scripture in many ways. Remember, this is essential, even to Christianity. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so God grows our faith, God grows our assurance by his Word. And so Gideon, as he's listening to God, he is growingly becoming increasingly trusting in God's Word. He goes down, and what he hears matches up with what God's Word says, and he is emboldened and strengthened that much more. So Gideon trusts God's word, you know, and no doubt God will get all the glory for this. And we understand that from chapter 7, verse 2. But Gideon's initial response is interesting. Notice this. He says, and so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. And so that, I think, is also an indicator showing that in Gideon's mind, what he heard on the front line was just, you know, reverberating from back what God had said. God had told him that he'll be strengthened. And so at this moment, all he could do whenever he runs face to face with what God told him he was going to run into in the first place, all he can do is fall down and worship God, and which is what we ought to do. You know, there's moments in life where you experience God's word in a magnificent way. God just shows you something, right? Whether it's in his word or maybe something that happens in life, and maybe in that day you just read something that lines, you know, exactly for what you had just read that day. And all you can do in those moments, and what we should do in those moments, is fall down and worship God to praise him for what he has shown us that day and also confirmed even in reality or in real time. So his initial response is worship. And then you start to see Gideon's leadership take place. Leadership begins to kick into high gear here. This is where we start to see the valiant, the valor of Gideon, if that's a word, the might of Gideon, or the leadership of Gideon, which happens to be one of Israel's greatest historical leaders. Even in so much, you see even in Hebrews where he is listed there as well. And so you see this leadership begin to kick into place, right? And so verse 15, you see that he brings word back. And his word that he brings back is, he says this, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. So now he's taking ownership of what God has called him to do. He gets up, he goes back to the camp, and he says, get up, we're going. God has delivered Midian into our hands. So you see the leadership on Gideon's end, where now he is beginning to actually follow through and move forward by faith. There's no doubt in Gideon's mind at this point, and you don't see any doubt whatsoever in the text from all the way through the remainder of chapter 7. He is sold. He is, as God said, he is strengthened. And that's so significant. You see, he brings word back, arise, for the Lord has delivered. He then also, another aspect that you see of Gideon here is he leads by example. And you see that in verse 17. Let's go to verse 16, actually. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. So you see strategy happening here as well, which we'll get to more here in a second. But verse 17 shows his example that he's setting. Here it is. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise, which is what a leader should do. And then he says this, watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. Again, this is the leadership that is kicking into place into Gideon. Maybe for those leaders who are watching today and you're listening in or whatever it may be, let me encourage you to see this, that God has called you to lead people, and your example is significant. Gideon is a mighty man of valor, and he is a man who is going to lead the people by example. And so he begins to set the example as leaders should do. He says, look at me and do likewise, verse 17. And then he organizes and sets in place a plan, right? Again, so he's coming back with confidence, assurance. He's saying, get up, let's go. God has delivered Midian into your hands. Do as I do. Do everything, look at me and do whatever I do. Likewise, watch me, right? And then he says, all right, and here's the plan. So he starts to set in order the plan. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. So you see Gideon setting in order now. There is now opportunity in which they are following their leader, who their leader is listening to who? God, God's word. He is convinced of it. He's assured of it. He's relaying that back to the people, in so much that he even says something that's interesting. I think it's very, very important. In verse number 15, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. And so not only is he taking ownership as if God is going to deliver him into my hand, but he's going to deliver him into our hand. And so deliver Midian into our hand. And so he organized, he sets in place, he leads by example. He brings word back to them with confidence and assurance, stating that this battle is the Lord's. The Lord is going to deliver Midian into our hands. And so eventually what happens is God's word comes to pass. God's word comes to pass. Verse 22, when the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zeraria, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. The Lord's word comes to pass. And so, here's the question that we started off with. Is God's word trustworthy? Yes, it is. Of course it is. And is it relevant even for today? Or should I ask it this way, as the title says of the actual episode? Is God's word trustworthy even for today? It is. It's one of the reasons why we call this podcast A Text for Today, because I firmly believe that God's word is relevant for today, and it's even trustworthy today. And so anything that we are going through, everything that we're going through, God wants us to trust his word. God wants us to look to his word. God wants us to, as I say at the end of every episode, lean into God's word, because it alone is our confidence. It is our assurance. We understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so God's word that has been inscripturated to us, that has been written down for us to cherish and love and hold to and listen to every day and grow in, is very essential to our walk with God. It helps us to learn more and more to trust him. Okay, so God's word is trustworthy. He said that he would deliver and save Israel through Gideon. And today we know one mightier than Gideon. And it is the same Lord that won the battle there that is also the one who is the same Lord of any battlefields that we face today spiritually. And that person is Jesus. As I said before, you know, there is always a lesser in the Old Testament. That is someone who's foreshadowing the coming deliverer, the coming savior. And so while we look at Gideon as this mighty man of valor and this man who is going to rule over the nation of Israel, and he's going to deliver Israel, and he's going to conquer for Israel, and it is all God's battle, right? And we look at Gideon, who is going to be this mighty warrior. There is one greater. He's the lesser, and the greater is Jesus. And so every day we get an opportunity to look to our Savior Jesus Christ, and we get to look to him inside the Word. And truthfully, we get to look at him in a grander way than Gideon could ever imagine, right? Because we have God's Word both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we see the Savior, how he lived, the example that he set, and the trust that he had every single day, never doubting, never wavering, setting that example for every single one of us. Gideon failed, was fearful, was doubtful in many ways. Christ was never, and he is our sure example. And every single day, we can learn to lean into God's Word. So the question is God's Word trustworthy for even today? Yes. Rest in God's Word. Well, that's a text for today. Listen, I hope that's been a help to you in some way. You can look at the life of Gideon. You can look at the life of Moses. You can look at the life of Abraham. And list goes on and on and on. David and so forth. Samuel, dot, 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 forever. And every single one of those individuals, you can see that God has taught them to trust his Word. And may we do the same thing today. What an amazing thing to know. That's a text for today. I hope it's been a help to you. Let me encourage you to go to textfortoday.com, and you can listen to all past episodes there. You can also subscribe to any of our podcast feeds and also our YouTube channel. And if you get a chance also, share it up. Share that with somebody. Let it be an encouragement to somebody, and I trust that it will. Well, until tomorrow, may God continue to richly bless you in his Word, and may you learn each and every single day, as we all can and get to, praise God for that, to lean in to God's Word. I'm Pastor Rob Martinez. Have an awesome day.